This has been a tough choice to preach on. I imagine that Jesus, at least from my perspective, this is one of the hardest things he had to say. My perspective being a father, being a son, being in derision, in conflict with my own father years gone by. And of course, we make the joke about in-laws, you know, but that seems like age old, but maybe it wasn't. Maybe that's an American thing. I don't know. But to say this, that he did not, he came to bring a sword, to divide. And he saw, he looked out through time and saw exactly what this means. And what I see today, and I don't mean just the normal sinning and the normal things that we seem to have gotten calloused about and say is normal. It's not normal, it's sin, and we should be sick from it. But what I mean is the enormity of the division between parents and children. Counselors and even Christian counselors are telling their clients, if your parents are making you uncomfortable, separate from them. They're the problem. Christian counseling, that should be renamed. Just because they're Christians doesn't mean they're giving Christian counseling. It's not pastoral counseling. It's not biblical counseling. That's what they need to hear. They need to remember the fourth commandment to honor their father and their mother. But I see this everywhere I go, pastors, people that I talk with. It's just enormous. Enormously, and it doesn't seem to be any remedy. Division is there. And what is this division about? What is Jesus saying? Is he's saying the division comes because the truth is not the lie. The good is not the evil. And what is happening? What is he saying? You don't interpret the times. What does this mean? This means this is the end time. This is it. This is the coming of the end. Because when good is called evil and when evil is called good, that's when it will be. Maybe here in America it's turning around. I don't know. I mean, we have little voices of hope. We see and we hear. Can it give us a reprieve from the judgment that it absolutely... I mean, if Sodom and Gomorrah were wiped out with fire and brimstone, why should we escape? If Nineveh was threatened and they repented for what they did, we have a lot of blood on our hands. What do we do? We have to be faithful to what God says. And it's going to divide us from our children, us from our parents, us from our relatives, us from our friends. It is going to put us at odds with the world. There's no way around it. We cannot be friends with the world and friends with Christ at the same time. It does not work. So what is the church doing? Doing this handshake, this cave-in, this allowing, what we see all the time on the news. We hear sermons. We turn, if you watch any preach TV at all, that's what is going on. Sure, there's a few that are preaching against some of this stuff, but they've got so much other kooky stuff, to baggage on there that people turn it off. We need to preach Christ and Him crucified. We need the simple gospel and the clear law. And if we shy away from that, if we say to our preachers, to our teachers, to stop, we can't handle, we can't listen to a John the Baptist. We can't listen to a St. Paul. We want a Jesus, you know, the sweet Jesus who accepts everybody. You know, that's the Jesus we want. That's Jesus. That's not St. Paul. That's not John the Baptist. And you then you turn and you have things like this, what Jesus says, I don't come to bring peace, but a sword. And what does he say? I wish that that fire that it was he was going to bring upon the earth was already set. And what is that fire? It's going to separate the wheat from the chaff. Right? He is going to do that with that sword, and the fire is going to burn up the chaff. It's going to be thrown in the oven. And that's the truth. And we have not been preaching it and teaching it. We are soft. And I don't know. I don't know how soft I've been. I don't know if I've allowed that to be the same. The same week, the same. Okay, yeah, okay, that's okay. Let's keep going. Yeah, you're fine. Okay. That sort of attitude. I don't know. But this certainly is Jesus' message. The time is here. He gave us all the words showing, pointing. The scriptures are clear. This is what it is. And we're in it. Even if we have 1,000 years left on earth, the church has, it still doesn't mean this isn't our time. Nineveh had their time. They repented. And I believe, if the calculations are accurate, they enjoyed 200 years of existence until they decided to go back to what they used to do. And then they were completely obliterated. They just recently found where Nineveh was in the last 10 years or so. They discovered the old city. But God threatened. He said, you do this, I'm going to obliterate you. And he did. But they, for 200 years, they repented. And they had that. So maybe America can do the same thing. I do not know. But Luther warned. He said, the gospel was given to us, and it's like a rain cloud. It's going to move on to somewhere else if we just disregard it and we throw it away and we cheapen it and we consider it of little value. And so that may happen here too. America has had everything. And yet we still sacrifice our children to the fires and the sword for whatever we call Baal, however you pronounce it. So this is a hard sermon to write, and it's a hard thing to say. It's a hard thing to put together. All the texts are pointing to this. It's the letter to the Hebrews talks about those who saw from afar, the great cloud of witnesses, and they stayed the course. So there he talks about, my son, do not take the Lord's discipline lightly, or lose heart when you are reproved by him. So maybe this is our time. Strengthen, he says, therefore strengthen your tired hands and weakened knees, and make straight paths for your feet, so that what is lame may not be dislocated, but healed instead. That's the writer to the Hebrews for this text, his final message. Amen.